Hi, my name is Sasha. I'm a crypto attorney, and here's an update on the various bankruptcy news this week. We had quite a bit of action with FTX. We got the interim report. It shows they have had a little bit of an increase in their cash balances. Their overall cash in the bank accounts, which is spanning 101 different entities, and they've got it broken down into five silos. But the overall cash went from 1.24 to 1.43 billion. The Alameda cash within that, it changed quite a bit. It was at 446 million, and now it's at 886 million. So they're just basically siphoning through all the different accounts and moving it around to where it belongs. Like, some accounts had assets still of other companies, but it's all staying within the 101 companies. It's going to take a long time to sort through it. They've laid off nearly 40% of their staff. They had 320 people, and now they've reduced it down to 195, which shows they are trying to, you know, take some efforts to cut costs on that side, but they've got quite a hefty legal bill going on. With Sullivan and Cromwell, they have over 150 people working on the bankruptcy case, and over 30 of them are making more than $2,000 an hour. It's a very lucrative job for these lawyers, and a very tough one. There's just so much to unwind here. It's a very complex case. We did see a judge order that SBF needs to be limited from using Signal. Not sure how they're going to enforce that. Signal's, you know, quite a private messaging app, so I don't know how they'll say, here's your phone, but don't ever use Signal on it. But anyway, he's been told not to contact people. He had contacted Rain Miller, the attorney with Sullivan and Cromwell and former general counsel, asking if they could kind of collaborate and see if they have the same recollection. Some people said it was akin to witness tampering, him contacting these people. But really, witness tampering is a term that usually involves some kind of physical threat, blackmail, something like that. So I don't think what he did was quite witness tampering, but he's been told not to contact anyone from Alameda or FTX. He's appealing it. His attorney, Mr. Cohen, has said those are a lot of his friends. His therapist was a former staff member, so he needs to be able to contact some of them for emotional support. We'll see what happens. And they also filed a motion to ask for him to have access to some of the bank accounts. I don't know why he would need that access, maybe to put his defense together, but so far he has not been given access to those. There's a lot that needs to be done in the unwinding. They've hired a firm, PWP, that's an investment banking company, to help unwind all of the different equity investments. So they took a stake in hundreds of crypto companies where those need to be unwound, either sold off or, you know, some other big purchaser is going to come in. But they've hired a team now to look into that, and their rate of pay is $500,000 a month plus a 2% commission on any sales. Also, the Bahamas properties, which are close to $300 million worth, have been put up for auction. Hopefully they can get some recovery of customer funds through that. And they're still looking into the political donations. A lot of the politics said, oh, we donated that to charity. But I don't think that's going to fly. It needs to come back to the bankruptcy estate, not go to charity, if it was inside that look back period, the last 90 days before bankruptcy. With BlockFi, we haven't seen a huge update in the last week. We know they are actively looking for bidders to come in and buy up some of the distressed assets. What we do know is there's at least two categories of creditors. The creditors who had assets in the non-interest bearing accounts, those people are going to likely get their money back sometime this year. BlockFi filed a motion to return those assets to creditors. It's clearly carved out in the terms of service that those assets are not part of the bankruptcy estate, but we're still waiting for the judge to decide. Customers that had their assets in the interest-bearing accounts, that has been determined to belong to the bankruptcy estate. So it's going to take a while to unwind. There's a loan for $1.2 billion that's owed from FTX and Alameda. So if they can recover any of that, it will help those creditors, and also the various asset sales and restructuring process. Celsius bankruptcy, we saw the Examiner report this week, which was scathing. It used the P word, Ponzi. If you search the document, it shows up 7 different times. And it was actually mostly talked about through internal messaging between staff members, calling it a Ponzi, saying that the SEL token was absolutely worthless. When they did the ICO, Mashinsky, the former CEO, he said that it was all sold out, but it actually wasn't. He didn't buy certain tokens that he said he was going to buy. He made $70 million off various sales, and they were propping up the price of the SEL token with customer assets. And then they got several bids on various assets that they didn't disclose to everyone. They just kind of brushed them off, and Tiffany Fong leaked them, and it showed some of them were promising. Like Binance had come in and offered to buy up their liquid assets, and you know, that would be a lot better for customers if they could at least get their liquid assets back through Binance. Binance take it over, people could withdraw it or trade it or just have, you know, access to it on the Binance platform. But because Binance didn't want to buy their illiquid assets, the bankruptcy attorney said, oh, you know, that wasn't a good deal. They should have brought it forward. And now because Tiffany Fong leaked it, it is coming to light. And the rest of the examiner's report, you know, it just shows lies, deceit, and I would be really surprised if Mr. Mashinsky isn't arrested, you know, sometime soon after that report. There's such clear evidence of fraud. Mashinsky put out a tweet after the examiner's report saying someone else was responsible for, you know, wrecking. I think he was alleging SBF was responsible for wrecking the whole crypto industry. And he says, follow the money. But it's like, if you follow the money, $70 million went into his pockets. So, you know, he just needs to take responsibility for it. His whole attitude and that of his wife's, you know, selling those unbankrupt yourself shirts. Alameda sent a request to Voyager to try and recover $446 million repaid a loan to Voyager before the loan was due. When Voyager started to go bankrupt, if you remember, FTX was, you know, trying to buy up those assets. So they wanted to look strong. So they repaid their loan before it was actually due. And now they reached out to the Voyager UCC asking if they could have that money back. This week, we saw an interesting development in California. They're making a move to put all DMV records on the Tezos blockchain, which Tezos actually has been doing pretty well in the NFT market. Their technology is working well for that. So it'd be interesting to see. I know, you know, government processes and DMVs are pretty slow. So having the records on the blockchain, it'll be an interesting experiment. There's also been a really interesting kind of block wars going on with these ordinals. So now you can put NFTs directly into the Bitcoin blockchain. Certain people like Luke Dash Jr. are trying to find workarounds because they say it's going to bloat the chain. It's unnecessary data to have in there. But a lot of people are saying, you know, this is actually the best way to preserve free speech. No one can stop anyone from uploading it. You have to run a node to be able to use an ordinal. So it's encouraging more people to get nodes, download the Bitcoin Core wallet, secure the blockchain. You know, you can upload anything. The problem is, you know, how long until people are uploading child porn, and then everyone that's running the Bitcoin blockchain could be deemed, you know, a distributor of it or something like that. So it could create, you know, various vectors for attacks on Bitcoin, but I don't think it's going to stop. There's so much support for it, and everyone seems very excited to get their NFTs right on the blockchain. It's more secure for them compared to having them on Ethereum, where there's a lot of scams on MetaMask and people are losing their NFTs, or the person hosting the NFT just stops hosting it. Once it's actually in the chain, every node that validates Bitcoin, you know, keeps these NFTs safe and preserved over the long term. The government's really talking a lot about regulating crypto more in this coming year. We should see in 2023 a lot more regulation on crypto, but it's interesting to see where it's going to land. Is the SEC going to be the main regulator? Will the CFTC step up and try and regulate it? Are they going to create a new asset class? Are they going to force exchanges to register with the SEC and act like a regular stock exchange? None of the existing rules were designed for peer-to-peer technology, so they're really scrambling. You know, we've had Bitcoin for a long time now, but they just don't know how to treat it from a regulatory perspective. And they just want to capture every transaction, see who's doing what. They want KYC on everyone so that they can know they're collecting the right amount of tax. And that's the update. Thanks and have a great day.